The heathen idolaters approached them, and there was a great slaughter. The Christians melted away before them, and yet the Christian company pressed the more closely together and held the banner more firmly. As many fell, others rallied around the banner and filled their places. No doubt, the view that we're seeing here is the scene when Rome, the pagan form of Rome, was exalting the system of the Hatamid, or the continual, the system of astrology worship or pagan idolatry, and that it was fighting against the pure Christian church. But notice what happens here. I saw the company of idolaters consulting together. They failed to make the Christians yield, and they agreed to another plan. I saw them lower their banner, and they approached the firm Christian company and made propositions to them. Here we see that the pagans, Roman pagan idolatry, is making the first overtures to compromise with Christianity. It says here, then I saw that, or at first, their propositions were utterly refused. Then I saw the Christian company consulting together. Some said that they would lower the banner, accept the propositions, and save their lives. And at last they could gain strength to raise their banner among those heathen idolaters. But some would not yield to this plan, but firmly chose to die holding their banner rather than lower it. Then I saw many of that Christian company lower the banner and unite with the heathen, while the firm and steadfast seized the banner and bore it high again. I saw individuals continually leaving the company of those bearing the pure banner and joining the idolaters, and they united together under the black banner to persecute those bearing the white banner, and many were slain. Yet the banner was held high, and individuals were raised up to rally around it. Well, here we see a picture, then, that there was a compromise between paganism and Christianity, and the Christians and pagans alike were united under the black banner that had the sun, the moon, and the stars on it. And then that group persecuted the true Christians, but that the white banner was always there. It was always raised, even though there was fighting between the two. I believe that this is a clear presentation of the fact that that banner with the sun, moon, and stars on it, the symbol of the continuance, the daily, remained in the hands of pagan idolatry, and that that pagan idolatry was merged with apostate Christianity. And the sun, moon, and stars of the system of the Babylonian worship still waved over their heads. And then that system of pagan idolatry, the daily and the Christian religion merged together, persecuted God's faithful people and His truth, the holding up of the white banner. It becomes evident that Christ's ministry continued in behalf of those who were faithful to Him throughout the period of the Dark Ages. His priestly ministry was never cast down. Thus, the daily cannot represent His priestly ministry. The continuance must be that black banner that represents the sun, the moon, and the stars. So far, I've shared with you some of my views on the subject of the daily, but now I would like to present to you some thoughts given by F.C. Gilbert in his manuscript on the daily. Brother Gilbert points us to Daniel 8, verse 11, and he points out that in this passage, the word by him would mean from him. And his argument is that it's the use of the Hebrew word umim min u. It's formed of two prefixes. The first is the vav, and the second is the word mem, which means from. Thus, we would have to read the verse 11 in this way. He exalt himself even to or against the prince of the host, or Jesus, and from him. The daily, or the system of the continuance or pagan idolatry, was lifted, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down or removed. Now the word the daily, or hatamid, says Gilbert, is to be clarified by its use in the text. He says that it's used over 100 times in the Old Testament. And he says in every case, the meaning of the word is clarified by the context. In Exodus 27, verse 20, Na'er tamid means to burn always. In Exodus 29:38, La'yom tamid means day by day continually. In Numbers 4:7, Ve'lechem ha'tamid means continual bread. In Numbers 9:16, Kane ye ha'ye tamid means it was always. In Psalms 25:15, Ah ne tamid is mine eyes are ever. In Ezekiel 39:14, Aan she tamid is men of continuance. In Numbers 4:7, no prefix is given. The context of the sentence makes the meaning in that passage. In every instance, the tamid is used in Daniel. It is prefixed by a definite article, the Hebrew ay, or hey. This is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So the definite article, the, precedes the word daily in every place in Daniel. Ha tamid stands alone. Everywhere in Scripture, the word tamid has a precedent but no prefix. But in the book of Daniel, it has a prefix and no precedent everywhere used, thus making it an outstanding and not a modifying word. It is a title or a noun. Gilbert moves us to verse 12, and there he points out that the word daily is tied to the word bi-pasha, or bi-fasha. The bi is a preposition. It means in. The fasha means transgression, or rebellion, or a defection. Thus we have the word dwelling in, or in, defection or rebellion or transgression. He points out that the daily could not be the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ's ministry is not in rebellion or in defection or transgression. Thus the daily must be an evil power, something that is in opposition to God. Going back to verse 11, Gilbert points out that at the end of that verse, when it says the place of his sanctuary was cast down, it could not be referring to the place of Christ's sanctuary. For the one who owns that sanctuary is the same one who exalted himself against the Prince of the Host, who is Jesus Christ, at the beginning of the verse. Gilbert points out the difference between the Roman form of paganism in verse 11 and the new paganized Christianity, or the papacy, of verse 12. He says that the Roman paganism represented a system where the state controlled the religion. As that changed to the papacy, or the pagan form of Christianity, was a system where the religion controlled the state. Thus, a difference between the two systems. We know that the real powers that ruled behind the scenes in the Roman government were masters at infiltrating and controlling the masses through religious cults, mysteries, and secret societies. These people saw the necessity of infiltrating and utilizing Christianity to be the power to rule and control the pagan world. The term daily, or the Roman form of pagan idolatry of verse 11, was not united with the word bipasha, or in rebellion, until verse 12, thus indicating that under the Roman form of government, paganism was not considered to be a rebellion against God, for these people did not know any better, but as the daily merged with the host, or Christianity, then it was bipasha, or in rebellion, or apostasy against God, in verse 12. Here I would like to introduce the concept that the daily is a third entity, not necessarily the Roman government, and not the papacy, but in fact the daily would represent a system of religious beliefs, an occult system of astrology worship, a system that had transcended the religion of the Hebrew nation, and thus Daniel could call it the continuance. It continued past the religion of God. It was the conqueror. This system passed from Persia to Greece, and eventually the religion of the Chaldean priesthood, this perpetual priesthood and religion, was passed into the hands of the Roman power in 133 B.C. by the last of the Italian kings in Asia Minor. Here the Chaldean priesthood set up the religion of the cult of the sun in Rome, and it became the religion of the Caesars. Now we know that Emperor Constantine was a member of the cult of Apollo, or the cult of the sun. When he came in, we know that his mother Helena was a Gnostic Christian and urged him to accept the paganized Christianity. He claimed that he had, but he surrounded himself with the symbols of sun worship until the day that he died and continued to carry the name Pontifex Maximus for himself. What does that indicate? That indicates that the continuance continued past the great religions of the world, all the way through Rome, and then past Rome. In Daniel 8, verse 11, we see that the daily was absorbed and exalted by the rising Roman power, but that the place of the Roman power, its sanctuary, its headquarters, its government, was transferred to a different location or cast down. Thus we see the movement of the government of the daily transferring to Constantinople, or Byzantium, later named Constantinople after Constantine. But in verse 12, we see that in place of the old Roman government seat, a new power comes into being, and that is the host. The host, or an host, the church, was put with the daily in rebellion or transgression against God. Thus the daily, or the continuance, continues right on into the religious system of the papacy. So now we could say that the Roman system of the daily transferred to Constantinople, while in its seat, the union of the daily with Christianity continued. Let's briefly compare this idea with the history that we understand from Daniel chapter 11. There in verse 16, we notice a power coming upon the scene. It says that he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. Thus we see the rise of the Roman power. And he shall stand in the glorious land which by his hand shall be consumed. Thus we see Rome continuing to conquer, as it describes in Daniel chapter 8, and it says that he'll go south, and the power would move east towards the pleasant land, or Palestine. From Daniel 11, verse 16, we read about the intrigues and the movements of the wars of the Roman Empire until we get down to verse 29. We can locate the time in Roman history in verse 28 when we read, Then shall he return unto his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant. Here we see Rome moving against the covenant-keeping people. And he shall do exploits, and shall return to his own land. Thus we see the picture of Titus the prince coming from Rome in 70 AD and destroying Jerusalem and taking back his trophies and his wealth to Rome. It says that at the time appointed he shall return and come towards the south, but it shall not be as the former nor as the latter. In verse 29 we read that at the time appointed he, the Roman power, shall return and come towards the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. We know that the Roman power in 312 or 313 was taken over by Constantine, the great warring general. He became the emperor. He became the Pontifex Maximus. In 324, Constantine conquered Licinius and now ruled Byzantium. He then split the empire up among his three sons. For the first time in 200 years, the old Roman Empire was collapsing. It was being split up. Now, it's an interesting thing that the words say that verse 29, that at the time appointed, he shall return and come towards the south, but it shall not be as the former nor as the latter. The seat of government was transferred to Byzantium, now called Constantinople, and we know that the system of the Roman world was not the same as it was before. In verse 30 it says that the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return, and he shall have indignation against the holy covenant, or God's truth, God's church. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. An interesting statement, isn't it? But it was Constantine who came in claiming to be a Christian. It was he that presided as the first pope over the Council of Nicaea. Thus, it was Constantine and those that worked closely with him that were trying to associate themselves with Christianity and use the new cult to rule the pagan world, to influence the minds of the masses. And thus we see a merge between the system of Roman pagan idolatry and Christianity. Now in verse 31, the history of this merger goes on. It says, an arm shall stand on his part. His must be referring to the Roman power. And they shall pollute. The word pollute means to dissolve, to wound, or to break, or to profane. Here, let's choose the meaning of the word. Why don't we choose the meaning to dissolve or to break? Arm shall stand upon his part, referring to the Roman power would break or dissolve the sanctuary of their strength. Here, the word migdash is used, the same as the word in Daniel 8:11, which meant the capital or the headquarters of the Roman system of pagan idolatry. Thus, the headquarters of Roman would be dissolved, and shall take away, depart, to put away, to put down or remove, the daily. And we know the Hatamid was a system of pagan idolatry. And they shall place, add, put, make, or bestow the abomination that maketh desolate, or that astonisheth. Let me read this important text again to you and make sense out of it. Arm shall stand upon the part of the Roman power, and that government will dissolve, do away with, its headquarters. And it will remove the daily, and in its place it will add or set up the abomination that makes desolate. Clearly a reference to the movement of that historical power. We know that this didn't happen overnight. We realize that while Constantine began a merger with the system of Christianity, and that while his government merged with it, the government still controlled Christianity. It was over a period of time until Rome began to break down. The imperial power expired in 476 AD. The Roman world broke up into fragments, a group of squabbling nations. The kingdom of the Franks united its interests with the papacy and set up a church-state government in 508, a work finished by Justinian in 538. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11 with the setting up of the abomination of desolation and see if it fits harmoniously with our previous view. And from the time the daily, or the system of Roman pagan idolatry, shall be sewer, taken away, or added to, or put down, or held back, and the, in its place, the abomination that maketh desolate be set up, or to set up the abomination, the desolating sacrilege. It will be the setting up in the place of the old Roman daily, this new union of Christianity and pagan idolatry. We read here that it would be 1,290 days. 1,290 days would be 1,290 years. 1,290 years to what? the 1290 years that the abomination or this paganized Christianity would sit in the seat of the old Roman Empire. So we would have to go to 1798, a date that we know was a time when the Pope lost his political dominion, and we would count back. 1290 days to bring us to the date 508. At that time, we find that the Roman Catholic Church established itself in a union with Clovis, the King of the Franks. And there we find that they established a pattern of church-state relationship which was copied by following emperors and was later became the basis for the Roman Catholic religious state structure that was established in 533 through 538 under Justinian. When we take the time to compare the description of the daily in Daniel chapter 8 and the parallel histories in the rest of the book of Daniel and Revelation, we find no place anywhere that there is any indication that we're referring to the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. There are a number of reasons why the confusion developed over Daniel 8, 11 through 14. Number one, we know that Satan was determined to confuse the most important aspects of Scripture. And that aspect of Scripture was crucial to a correct understanding of the great movements that would lead to the coming of Jesus Christ. Number two, being that the understanding of that had been sealed by God until the time of the end, there was no way that those men who translated this in England and other parts of the world would be able to comprehend what it was referring to. All views that were developed up until that time, of course, were erroneous. The view of Antiochus Epiphanes has no place in the inspired record whatsoever. And yet, that has influenced the thinking of theologians down through the centuries. You have to realize that as these translators compared the word Tamid with its other usages, they find that it was often used and tied to words in the Hebrew sanctuary, such as the word sacrifice, indicating it represented the continual sacrifice. They felt that maybe they would help us to understand that verse a little bit better if they just dropped the word sacrifice in there, assuming that this Tamid must be referring to the Hebrew ceremonial sanctuary services. Of course, it did not. But this led them to the idea that the daily, which they believed was to be taken away, taking probably the least likely interpretation of the word room, assumed that the daily would be removed. Thus they looked for a Roman power that would come in and remove the Hebrew sacrifices. Of course, the Adventist people did not believe that. They saw that text more clearly. God had opened up this when he opened up the little book in the description of the Adventist people. In Revelation chapter 10, Jesus came down now with the open book in his hand just during the time of the 1830s and 1840s.